Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. It is Tuesday, July 18th. Glad to have you along on a Tuesday edition. And that means only one thing. It is Tuesday Tangents with our friend and colleague, Luke Mathers, co-host of Town Call, along with Willie Walter. We listened in for a little bit this afternoon. Always great to have you here on a Tuesday, Luke.
Glad to join you here on our inaugural Tuesday Tangents right in the new facility, Todd.
High atop State Street in the Civic Media Tower. In our new broadcast
booth. Are you hanging out with Crudy high up on State Street? What? We're just on the second floor. But yeah, we got a nice new prime real estate location here in Madison, and we're thrilled. Yeah.
What do you think about this? I said it'd be kind of fun to throw a camera down on the street, and we just do like a half an hour. We talk about people that go by. Because you could get a legislator, you could get a performer, you could get a...
Art Paul is one of my favorite. He sits out there with his guitar all the time on State Street. I wouldn't mind a little Art Paul on the Civic Media Cam feed. Come on. We're going to have to investigate it.
We're going to have to
look into that.
I think so.
Something worth looking into.
It'd just be fun. Because you never, the whole thing is you never know what, you got to make it up on the fly. It's like improv, right?
You know what else we could do? Wait,
hang on. Not everybody's just making up everything on the fly all the time. What?
I know.
Oh, yeah. Well, shocking. You got like a stack of library.
You've got all of these sheets in front of you.
You're so prepared.
I'm just a paper hoarder, which is different than a paper whore. But anyway, go ahead, Mr. Sommers. Yes.
You know, we can figure out a way to crack open these windows that don't open and just take a really long microphone cable and dangle it down and do interviews with people on the street.
Or use wireless technology that we already have. I have a wireless mic.
I would say, I feel like there's other ways other than just dangling a mic down there.
But that's old school.
It's more disarming for somebody to come up and then you're just like, how's it going? And you just have this cable that's coming down from the second floor of a building that's a block away.
See, like Letterman used to have a camera and a thing out there. He'd just say, you know, hello, people of State Street. It's like a voice of God thing. Hello, people on State Street. And then he had like a hose, a garden hose, and he'd turn it on and he'd spray people.
Okay. I'm more of Billy on the Street kind of vibe. Okay. Billy on the Street with...
Once again, the old man has
You haven't seen Billy on the Street?
Yes, I know. Billy Eichner? Yes, I'm not that old.
Yeah, that I like
I'm
those
I'm not
bits.
In retirement home, for goodness sake.
I didn't bring up the old man aspect. You were self-inflicting on that one, my friend.
That's true.
But Billy on the Street kind of vibe, just running up and down asking people if they know who their representatives are or something like that, kind of get some civic engagement involved in the game. Mm-hmm. That could be a lot of fun, too.
Luke on the Street.
Todd on the Street.
Toddy on the Street. Luke is the keeper of all things Milwaukee Brewers. He has an old Raleigh Fingers glove under his desk, which has a certain scent to it in our office.
It's a large improvement from the mayonnaise jar that you once said the tickets were kept in.
That's exactly. They are kept in a mayonnaise jar, and they're under Funko Waggle's porch, and they've been there since noon. And Luke pulls them out, and he has graciously has two tickets in front of me for the Milwaukee Brewers game this coming Saturday at 6:15. Here's what you have to do. Answer this question. First caller with the right answer wins two tickets to the club level seats. You can hear the Brewers, of course, on WISS, the big 1100 AM over at Oshkosh Air Support, and on WRCE News in the Center in Richland Center, AM 1450, 107.7 on the FM side. The Milwaukee Brewers play this weekend on Saturday. You can be there at 6:15. Tell me. The Brewers right now are the leaders of the NL Central. Who are the leaders of the NL East? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Who leads the National League East?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Are you
watching the standings? Are you watching the leaderboard right now? That is important. But yeah, we're going to be giving away some tickets.
Last time, was there a day game that I need to update real quick? Last I checked.
Do we got this? It's exciting. Well, and taking care of business in the NL Central, though, Todd, the Brewers over the weekend in Cincinnati sweeping the Cincinnati Reds. So we were a game. The Brewers were a game behind the Reds going into that series. But they were able to get that sweep
and take a two-game lead. They lead the NL Central,
and they're gonna have we're gonna host the Reds starting again next Monday. So we got a battle again of the NL Central going on here between the Milwaukee Brewers and the Cincinnati Reds.
Who are the National League East leaders right now on the NL standing board? If you have the right answer, you'll be going there on Saturday night at 6:15. Great name. Doc in Milwaukee, welcome to the show. Who leads the National League East right now, Doc?
I believe that would be the Atlanta Braves.
You are correct. Absolutely. And incidentally, the Braves are coming to town. You understand? It used to be the Milwaukee Braves. Now it's the Atlanta Braves against the Milwaukee Brewers. And Doc, you are going to be there. Are you listening to us, Doc, over the air or on the app?
Over the air.
Over the air on WAUK, the Shaw down there in Waukesha?
Correct.
All right, fan. And here's the final question. You get the tickets either way, but I'm always interested. Are you an actual doctor?
No.
But it doesn't matter. But I love it. I love it anyway, Doc. Great. And do you have somebody to take with you now on Saturday?
Yes, I do.
All right. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the line. Hold. Mr. Zomers will take your full name, your address, your phone number, your email. We'll get you those tickets via the email. Stay with us now. We have Mr. Mathers, and Luke Mathers, that is, dueling tangents of sorts after this on the Tom Ball Show on Civic Media. Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network, along Mr. Luke Mathers and Mr. Aaron Zomers. It's the Tom Allball Show, a Tuesday edition. Glad to have you along. And it's a good thing Luke is here, because Todd's just freewheeling. I'm just like, you know, hey, let's just make people happy. But there has to, in every organization, you understand, there has to be someone who is the rule keeper, the gatekeeper. And Luke is a great guy. But, you know, he's very cognizant of making things fair, and I appreciate that.
Well, we want things to be fair. We have a couple of rules and restrictions that apply to the giveaways that we do here at Civic Media.
I love it, rules and restrictions. Mm-hmm. There's always a couple of rules and restrictions. One of them is you cannot have won in the last 30 days.
No. It's one winner per calendar month. I can clarify
all right,
that.
All right, clarify, yeah.
So we reset at the end of each month winners for our Brewers tickets here through Civic Media, again, in partnership, because our two Civic Media radio stations that are part of the Brewers Radio Network, WISS Oshkosh Air Support up in the Fox Valley, and WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center. But through that partnership, we do want to make it fair, and so we do offer the tickets for winners only once per calendar month.
And importantly, it is the date of the game that's considered. Like, let's say if you won tickets on July 31st for August 1st, that counts as August.
Yeah, we counted it for the game that you are going to. That is correct.
I'm not sure.
That's the only way I can track it. So if you can only go to one game per calendar month.
So you can go on the 28th of one month and the 3rd of the next month?
Yeah, because it resets on the calendar
month. I thought it was every 30 days.
I can't track that. I track by month, Todd. Right.
Oh my God. Sounds like we're getting into menstrual cycles here at some point.
We track which game each individual.
Dr. Lyerly, when you need her.
Public service announcement is coming up later in the week, I believe.
Of course,
it might have happened already this week. I forget which day of the week that segment accidentally
that can be dangerous, segment. Luke. Don't forget what happens.
It's not my show. I don't have to keep track of the segments. It's not my show.
All right, here's the deal. We got to get with these poor tickets again because Doc already won. So here's the deal. Doc, we love you, but I'm sorry you pulled the trigger too fast. Here's the follow-up question. Who leads the National League West? The Brewers lead the National League Central.
And the Braves.
And the Braves are the East.
And they're coming to town this weekend. And if you want to go to that game on Saturday at 6:15 p.m., first pitch,
let us know. Give us a call 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. 967-278-9. The first caller with the right answer wins two tickets to the show or to the game on Saturday. Who leads the national?
It is a show. That's what they refer to the MLB as.
It's the show.
Yeah.
Who leads the National League West right now?
Yeah. Currently. It's exciting right now. There was kind of some ups and downs when it came to before the All-Star break. The Brewers started off right now in an excellent win streak, and there was a lot of excitement in the young players, but there's been injuries, and, you know, the pitching's been up and down. So it's really exciting time right now to keep an eye on the Brewers and the entire MLB race, because the Brewers, but there's also other teams to keep an eye on. So
Luke Sturgeon's Brewers hat today.
This is how I remind myself that there's Brewers games again today, because they had the day off yesterday, so I didn't have to worry about Brewers yesterday, because there's no games to worry about. They had an off day, and then I realized this morning, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm group list today. I gotta remind myself to do all the things that relate to the Brewers then. So I put my Brewers hat on, and every time I can catch my reflection or see myself on the online stream, I'm like, oh yeah, I took care of the Brewers today.
That's why I love hanging around Luke. Let's go to the phones. Don in Madison listening to us on WMDX here in Madtown. Don, what say you? Who is leading in the National League West?
Hey, guys, you gave me a lot of time to look it up, but I didn't do that, so I'm going by the computer. I'm going by my own list.
All
right. I'm going to say the San Francisco Giants.
Ooh, second place in the West, Don.
Close, but no. All right, well, give us a call back. If you call back in with the right answer, we'll give them to you, Don. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Looking for the first person that can answer the question correctly, who leads the National League West right now? 844-967-2789.
I'm gonna try to see a guy. I think the Brewers are going. I think the Brewers are hosting this team in a little bit. So yeah. I'm gonna have to pull it up the schedule. 844-967-2789.
Who leads the National League West right now?
And Don, these are terrific seats, folks. You want to go to this game?
Right. This isn't any. There's nothing wrong with bleacher seats, but I mean, you know, Luke took pity on Aaron and I, and he said, "Look, we'll take you down there." And so we went to the club level, and you've got your bathrooms right outside where the seats are. You can have your own concession stands for that area. They're cushy, they're comfy. You can see right into the Brewers dugout. You have a great view of the entire field. And during the seventh inning stretch, there's dancing girls that come down and do a show. So that's a lot of fun as well.
What? I think I was in different seats than you, Todd. I did not.
No, there are no dancers. But wouldn't that be fantastic if there were?
The Brewers are going to visit this team in the middle of next month, so they'll get a chance to go. I thought that they were coming to town, but really the Brewers go and visit them.
Lo and behold, God love him, Don has stayed with us. Don, we had to play fair because he had to hang up and call back. We're going to give you another chance now, Don. Go to Don in Madison. Don, give us.
Yeah. I'm going to say the L.A. Dodgers.
Yes, we have a winner.
We
have a winner. That's fantastic. Don, do you have somebody to take along with you?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, hang on. Don't go anywhere. We're going to put you on hold.
It won't be Ron Johnson or Donald Trump, I can tell you that.
Well, Ron Johnson has enough. He has 400 extra grand in his pocket now to buy tickets himself.
Yeah, he would give me the tickets and then steal them back from me at some point.
Probably the truth. Don, we appreciate you listening. Hang on now. Mr. Zomers will take your info off the line or off the air. You're welcome. Have a great time down there. And, of course, as we said, Milwaukee Brewers. On Civic Media, on WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, the big 1100 AM. I can never remember the FM side.
The FM side is...
right here. Yep. Look at that. Right in front of me. 98.3 of the FM side.
I was going to say 98.5, so I was two off. I was one little click on the dial off in my head. But yeah, 98.3.
And also on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center, our home station, on AM 1450 and FM 107.7.
There you go.
Luke, what tangent do you want to go down in our 7 minutes that we have remaining or so?
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
Wherever you want to go.
What's on your mind?
Honestly, the the news today, and this broke during town call, but we now have a third election official here in Wisconsin that is confirmed. Again, because most of the time, Todd, these investigations that the federal investigators, the special counsel's probe that are going into and finding out whether or not there were illegal actions taken, you don't find out about them until charges come forth. Right. Unless people go to social media and say, hey, I'm the target of an investigation like we've now experienced, because we've only found out about the investigations before prosecutors are ready to charge, because a certain former president has gone to his social media platform, Truth Social, and shared that information. But now we're finding out, through excellent reporting here in the state of Wisconsin, a third election official has confirmed that they sat down with investigators in the federal probe. So earlier today, the Associated Press was reporting Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator, confirmed with reporters at the Associated Press that she has also sat down with federal investigators in regards to the 2020 plot to overturn the state of Wisconsin and other states around the nation to overturn the election results here in our state.
And as they say, the plot thickens, because maybe, just maybe, that might have had something to do with the fact that these Republicans in Wisconsin have trying to pull her nomination essentially from the committee, the Wisconsin Election Committee or Commission, and trying to bring that up for a confirmation vote on the state Senate floor with the intent to vote it down, to vote her out of office, basically. I mean, I'm just, you know, it's an assumption. I'm surmising this, but knowing some of these actors, unfortunately, the way I do, it seems just a little bit too convenient that they try to get rid of her, and now it comes out that she had talked to federal prosecutors.
I mean, I don't think getting rid of her at this point would not change the fact of that she has relevant or potential relevant information to
investigation. It's punishment in their eyes.
Yes, maybe, but I don't know. I don't know the details of that. I can tell you though that for some time it felt like there was a little stalling around this. There was a complaint brought before the Wisconsin Elections Commission. One of the 10 fraudulent electors here in Wisconsin that is the subject of this investigation, along with the former president, is Robert Spindell, who conveniently sits on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. He got to have a say in whether or not he and the 9 other individuals that signed onto paperwork saying fraudulently that Donald Trump won the state's 10 electoral votes in 2020, he got a say in whether or not that was reviewed by the commission he sits on. And so it is interesting to see the dynamics that are floating around the Megan Wolf's reappointment, and now that she is one of at least 3, I'm going to go out a limb and say there's probably more Wisconsin elections officials that have been interviewed by the federal investigators. There were concerns of for the mayor of Green Bay and election officials in Green Bay. Michael Gableman, former state Supreme Court justice, threatened to jail individuals there. Like, there is a lot that happened here in the state of Wisconsin. We were the state, besides the quote unquote cyber ninja audit that happened in Arizona, Wisconsin state Republican elected officials were doing more than any other Republican officials around the country, trying to quote unquote investigate the 2020 election. And so I have a feeling Jack Smith, the special prosecutor on this one, is got a large interest in what happened here in Wisconsin leading up to January 6, 2021, and the fallout that happened afterwards as well.
And speaking of interesting people that just went by our window, I believe I saw Jack Smith just walk by State Street. He's spending a lot of time here in Madison. No, not really. But no, you're absolutely right. I mean, and as we've said before, Wisconsin is going to be a pivotal state once again. Whichever presidential candidate, Republican or Democrat, wins Wisconsin, most likely will win the presidency in 2024.
As goes Wisconsin. It's like somebody aptly named their radio show around here.
See, once again, Kristen is ahead of me. You know, I thought I had her on Blue Sky, you understand. I was talking to her last night, and we were talking about this clip that they aired about me bragging about I say that I went to Threads because of her, and then bragging about Blue Sky, and she laughed. She goes, yeah, I'd already been on it for quite a while. I'm like, what?
I am going down with the Titanic. I am playing with the deck furniture and playing the violin. It's all being rearranged, and I am still on Twitter. I have not jumped to Threads or Blue Sky.
I'm not doing much with my Threads. I'm just on it. I'm on Blue Sky.
I don't have any of them.
Yeah. I downloaded the app for Threads and then proceeded to never open it or log in.
Really?
Why take the step to download it?
He wants to save his name.
No, not even.
No, it's automatically linked to your Instagram account.
That's right.
So
that's
it's already like a username and all that stuff. Yeah. I don't know.
I downloaded it while I was in the bathroom. And then I was done going to the bathroom.
The life
and
of
that's
times.
Where the tangent ends today.
Mr. Zahmer's on the throne. This is a perfect intro to our next guest. Is Josh Mills, who is a Hollywood insider. He has a great podcast that we're going to want to talk about. Also a great author as well. It's fascinating. We could spend an hour with him. Josh Mills on the other side. Mr. Mathers, we appreciate you as always on a Tuesday tangent.
Appreciate you, Mr. Alba.
All right. Stay tuned now. The Tunnel Bowl show continues on the other side. You're listening to us on this Civic Media Radio Network.
Here comes summer. School is out, oh happy day. Here comes summer. I'm gonna grab my girl and run away. Here comes summer. We'll go swimming every day. And let the sun shine bright on my happy summer home.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Bowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and around the world on the Civic Media app. Appreciate you being with us here on a Tuesday afternoon. That song from 1959, a big hit in 1959 called Here Comes Summer. And it was produced by the father of our next guest. He is Josh Mills. Probably a person that has two of the most interesting parents that I've ever known or ever heard about. Marty Mills was his father and partnered with singer-songwriter Jerry Keller to form that music company in the 1959 hit Here Comes Summer. Marty Mills was your father. Your mom, the great and legend in Hollywood, Eddie Adams. Josh, thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Absolutely. You guys did a deep dive. Jerry Keller. I love it.
The more I read about your parents, it was just like, it was like a page turning novel. I just couldn't stop. I'm like, my gosh, this guy has been in contact with all these people that I have idolized and loved for years, from Groucho Marx to Johnny Carson to John Wayne to George Burns. And I'm like, holy cow. You've had the opportunity to be around these people, not see them on stage, but just in their element of being people. That must have been extraordinary.
Yeah. I mean, I had a lot of opportunities with my mom. One of her best friends was Jack Lemmon and Felicia Farr, his wife. So I spent Christmases with the Lemons all the time. But I had weird experiences from my dad's side because he was a celebrity photographer and shot everything from Battle of the Network Stars to, you know, tennis and golf and all these crazy things. So I remember being pretty young, like 5 or 6, and my dad shooting the Glenn Campbell show. And I'm sitting next to his parents and the camera turns around and here's my parents and I'm sitting right next to them. So I had weird experiences for sure.
Well, you've taken all this and you put it into a fantastic podcast called Rarefied Air, and air spelled H-E-I-R as an heir apparent or an heir. And you talk to kids like yourself of famous people. And I think it's brilliant.
Thank you. I love it too. I had an interesting couple of meetings growing up with you know, kids of celebrities. Carney Wilson was a good friend. So the Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys were always around. John Kay from Steppenwolf. Sean Kay was a friend as well. So I had these moments where I realized that we had shared experiences, but they were all different. But I could relate and they could relate to weird stories about, you know, going to the Lemons on Christmas or something. So I had a conversation with Kelly Carlin, and she told me this story about being with her dad, George Carlin, and her mother in Hawaii with Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet and Sammy Davis Jr. And I was like, Yeah, I had that kind of a dinner. I wasn't at that dinner, but I know exactly what that's like as a 12-year-old kid sitting there trying to be entertaining with Sammy.
And what's it like now to, I mean, it has to give you like an inside track, right? Because it has to be kind of an exclusive club. I mean, someone like me grew up in Wisconsin. You know, I have no idea what, I've been to Hollywood a few times, but I mean, but to be in those private moments, do you find that it's easier to get guests because you're in that club?
Sometimes it helps and sometimes it doesn't. I've had people that just flat out turn me down because either they don't want to talk about things in their past or they don't know what's coming. But I've had we've done 130 episodes and it's been great talking to, you know, I just talked to Victoria Price, Vincent Price's daughter, and it was an amazing experience talking to her because I've never met her. I've never been in the same room with her. And yet, her telling me a story about her dad taking her to get the best taquitos in Los Angeles was very much akin to my own story about my dad taking me to New York for pizza. So, you know, there are these weird shared experiences, but it's just a moment of going, oh, it's Vincent Price taking you to go get taquitos in Los Angeles.
If I could take a moment and feel free to jump in at any time, because my sister and I will sometimes sit around and be like, wow, our family is just weird sometimes, you know? But looking at your story, I don't want to say it's weird, but I mean,
it is
unique. And where your mom, the great Edie Adams, a Hollywood legend, and her first husband was Ernie Kovacs, a legend in Hollywood. And as I understand it, his ex-wife kidnapped his two children, and your mother then had to help raise those kids' stepchildren. Then he was tragically killed in a car accident in the early 60s. And that's when she met your father, who was a legend in his own right, Marty Mills, who, as you said, was a great photographer, also a music producer, and photographed some of the most famous people in Hollywood. I mean, that alone, how you, we talk about blended families. I mean, my gosh, this is the ultimate blended family, is it not?
Yeah, I had a moment when I was about 10 where I realized that there were five people at the dinner table and four of us had different last names. It was a weird, weird moment. But I didn't think of it as weird. I mean, I thought that was odd at the time, but I didn't understand celebrity or I didn't understand the culture at the time. But yeah, I had half-sisters. I had stepsisters. I had stepfathers. I had sisters that weren't even sisters. I mean, it was all very weird. But in a weird way, my mom kind of tried to put this all together and tried to make it as much of a family as possible. But yeah, I mean, my parents were divorced. It was two stepfathers or whatever. It's weird.
But in a good way. I mean, you know, historic, right? I mean, your mom and Ernie Kovacs were the last two guest actors on the Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball program, and they didn't even know it at the time, right? They were filming this, and they didn't even know it. I mean, to have that sort of insight, amazing.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, it was so undercover that the crew knew, but my mom chose to sing a song, which subsequently has become fairly famous, and you can find versions of it on YouTube. People love this version. She did a song called That's All, and it's a very sad song, and my mom had no idea about this, and she sang the song, and she's like, the crew is crying, and like, you know, she's like, oh, I must have done amazing, like, this was fantastic, and it was like, no, Lucy and Desi, it was sort of their story. My mom didn't realize it, but was singing and channeling sort of their story on the very last episode. Yeah. So it was a weird one for her too.
I mean, your mom was a Tony Award-winning actress, worked with legends like Milton Berle and Sammy. There's a great story I found, Sammy Davis Jr., where she insisted that she and Sammy Davis Jr. be equal in the camera singing a song. And at the time, that was historic in and of itself.
Yeah, my mom had a television show called Here's Edie, which then became the Edie Adams Show. And one of the things in 1964, 60, 63, 64 was that essentially it was unspoken, but a black man could not stand equally with a white woman. And my mom was the producer of the show. And there was a sponsor. It was called the Consolidated Cigar Company. They bought the time. My mom was the producer, and she forced the network to have Sammy and her sit next to each other and sing a song, which hadn't been done. And there were, you know, places in parts of this country, you can figure out where, that were not happy about that. And there were letters and things like that. But my mom was very much into civil rights and really wanted to make sure that, you know, I mean, Sammy was an insane talent. If you ever see that episode, he's singing, he's dancing, he's doing soliloquies, he's playing drums. It's just, it's insane. And she's like, no, this person needs to be, he is my equal for sure.
And I only love it because I'm a former Republican. I left the party in 2011 over voting rights issues. But I believe I have it correct. Your mom was actually an Eisenhower Republican, was she not?
Well, here's the thing. When she was brought up, yes, her parents were definitely more conservative. Mm. They were Pennsylvania folks. But by the 60s, she is stumping for every Democrat. She was really a Hubert Humphrey supporter. Mm-hmm. She's in this great documentary that I saw where she's with Buddy Hackett and they're doing something for LBJ. She was a tried and true Democrat by the time she was out of the 50s. She was not a Republican at all. And it's funny because that's one of the things on like on Wikipedia that mm-hmm. I keep trying to take off, because essentially she was not that person for 45 years, the second half of her life.
I think that's fascinating because, I voted straight Democratic since, 2011, 2012. But I think people evolve, or maybe not so much we evolve, as these political organizations evolve into something we no longer believe in.
Yeah, and it's funny because, Ernie was the kind of guy who, he didn't do political humor. He was mm-hmm. not, he didn't stump for anybody. In fact, his thing was, if you took yourself seriously, mostly politicians, you deserved a pie in the face. That was the first thing that needed to happen. You got a pop.
And, go ahead.
Yeah. So, and my mom was political, but not quietly, but it wasn't part of her act, or it wasn't part of what she did, because she did do a stage act. She was for many years doing ballrooms and cruises and major hotels and big stuff like that. But behind the scenes, my mom was absolutely a true blue Democrat. And, when it's funny, when Humphrey died, it was actually on Ernie's anniversary of his death. And it just devastated her. And she kind of locked herself in her room for, the whole day. And I just remember not understanding why she wasn't coming out, but she was very upset.
We're talking with Josh Mills. He is the host of the podcast called Rarefied Air, spelled H-E-I-R, Rarefied Air, talking about talking with kids of famous people. It's a fantastic podcast. You should go to it, rarefiedairpodcast.com. Also, created this book called Ernie in Kovacs Land. And Ernie Kovacs, again, we could do an hour on this. This is a guy who every major performer from Jim Henson to Johnny Carson to Jimmy Kimmel to Conan O'Brien have emulated or studied him. Anybody who's in broadcasting knows who this guy is. And your mom was married to him until his death. Just here, I want to say this. This is something I hope this is true, because I found this and reportedly at his funeral. At Ernie Kovacs' funeral, the pastor said that Ernie summed up his life like this. He said, quote, "I was born in Trenton, New Jersey in 1919 to a Hungarian couple. I've been smoking cigars ever since." I thought that was fantastic. I hope that's true, is it?
Yes, I mean, and Ernie, on his tombstone, it says nothing in moderation. And if anybody ever lived their life to the absolute fullest, it was Ernie Kovacs. He was a person that didn't skimp on anything. And when he passed away, he left my mom in serious debt. IRS came calling, ABC came calling. My mom was about $500,000 in debt in 1962. And it was partially because, she said, look, I take responsibility for it. I'm half of this equation too. It's not all Ernie's fault, but Ernie did like to spend. And we forget, in the 1950s, there was a tax bracket where you were in the 91% tax bracket. Yeah. So for every dollar you earned, you got 9 cents.
Wow.
And Ernie just thought that was stupid and was like, I'm not paying it. And that's how you end up $500,000 in debt.
But had a hell of a life, but live big.
He did. He when he was just out of high school, he had pleurisy and he was in a pauper's hospital in New Jersey for almost a full year, probably 10 months. Wow. And I believe that he really started to realize that, you know what, anything can happen in this world and I don't know what's going to happen. And he just said, F it. I am going to live my life the way I want to live my life and no one's going to tell me any different. And that's exactly what he did.
Amazing. About 90 seconds before the first break, we're going to come back and talk more, but set it up, if you'd be so kind, Josh. This wonderful book, Writings, Drawings, Photographs of Television's Original Genius, Ernie in Kovacs Land.
Yeah, it's a book that I put together with co-authors, editors, Pat Thomas and Ben Modell, who is our Kovacs archivist, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, I had all this amazing stuff in our archive that only I could see, whether it was Ernie's diagram of how he wanted his records laid out in his house, or it could have been a script, or it could have been budgets from The Tonight Show. It could have been a million things. And I just thought, you know what? This and the book is put together almost like you're taking a look into Ernie's brain.
Going to come back and talk about it on the other side. Josh Mills is our guest. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. That is 10 minutes before our friend Matt Flynn steps in with Matt Flynn Direct. Not going to want to miss it. A great show ahead with Matt a little after the news at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock. Right now, our guest this half hour is Josh Mills. He is the host of a fantastic podcast. Please add it to your podcast rotation. You will not be sorry. I listened to a great one today, Buddy Ebsen from the Beverly Hillbillies and his daughter. And it was just how he was lined up to play the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz. And I kind of knew that, but I didn't know the whole story. And Josh Mills, the host of Rarefied Air and the author of Ernie in Kovacs Land, joins us. Josh, it was a fantastic listen.
Yeah, thank you. I love doing that one. And I love that story. It's an insane story. You kind of, depending how old you are, you think of Buddy Ebsen, or you don't think of Buddy Ebsen, depending how old you are, but there's either the Tin Man, or there is Barnaby Jones, or there's mm-hmm. Beverly Hillbillies. And this story about how he was not in Wizard of Oz is insane. And it was great hearing that behind the scenes story.
That's the kind of content you can listen to. Each one, a golden nugget, is called Rarefied Air. Air is spelled H-E-I-R, rarefiedairpodcast.com. Please check it out. Also, this new book about Ernie Kovacs, a television and broadcasting legend. Your mom was married to him before she met your father. Of course, Ernie Kovacs died tragically in a car accident. And in fact, I believe I read where he was such an icon that a photographer, and of course, journalism is journalism, the photographer simply photographed his hand after the car accident with an unlit cigar next to it because he was famous for his mustache and his smoking of a cigar.
Yeah, that was actually published, believe it or not, in the Herald Examiner, in the Los Angeles Herald Examiner. And I've actually never seen the photo because I purposely have not wanted to see it. But, you know, in the 1960s, we're still at a point where who knows if someone posed that picture. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. There's a guy named Ouija who was a crime photographer who, you know, kind of set up some shots. But, you know, yeah, it's part of the legend for sure.
But Ernie Kovacs, as I said, anybody who's ever watched a Better Brown broadcast, he had an influence on everyone from Johnny Carson to Jim Henson and the Muppets and way beyond. In fact, I just want to read this quickly. These were the pallbearers at Ernie Kovacs' funeral. It was Jack Lemmon, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Billy Wilder, and Mervyn LeRoy. Is that correct?
I mean,
all of Hollywood was there. I mean, this guy's a legend out in Hollywood, and your mom was married to him until his untimely death.
Yeah, and, you know, my mom said it was amazing being married to Ernie. She said he woke up every day in a manic high and, you know, this is the best coffee. These are the best eggs. This is the best toast I've ever had. And she, you know, it was amazing for a Pennsylvania Dutch girl to meet this crazed Hungarian guy who was about 6'3" and had a mustache, probably smoked like, you know, 10 cigars a day. It was a real change. And I think she loved it. And she was, you know, very happy with Ernie.
What inspired you to put this compilation, this coffee table book of Ernie and Kovacsland together?
Yeah. Well, my mom, I've heard from television and radio people, your mom is a first ballot Hall of Famer in the Preservationists Hall of Fame, if we have one.
Sure.
My mom realized in the 1960s that Ernie's stuff was being taped over or was being thrown away. And like a lot of things, the whole Tonight Show run in New York is gone because it's been dumped in the Hudson River. Mm. But my mom got a quitclaim, got a lawyer, bought everything back, and she preserved Ernie's legacy and her own as well. Mm. And so I really sort of felt like it's sort of my duty to keep this going. My mom spent a good portion of her life trying to preserve Ernie Kovacs' legacy because she was on his show. She was married to him. They weren't a comedy team in a very traditional sense like Lucy and Desi, but they were contemporaries and they were married. So my mom wanted to make sure that his genius, because he is called television's original genius, it was preserved.
Has to be, and his two children are no longer with us. Is that correct? I mean, he wasn't your dad. It wasn't even your stepdad because he had passed before your parents even met. But how did you end up overseeing this?
Yeah. So in a very Ernie way, he died without a will. Mm-hmm. And my mom ended up she paid for things. So my mom was left in $500,000 in debt. She paid the debt off. She didn't file for bankruptcy. She worked her butt off for, a decade or more. Mm-hmm. And she basically bought back things not just physical or these tapes. She bought back the desk that they had. She bought back the things that the IRS was literally taking from the house and saying, no, I will pay you back. And she did. So that's how I came to own it, is that she literally paid twice for something she already owns.
What do you hope that readers will take away from not just Ernie Kovacs, but also your mom in this, after reading this book, Ernie and Kovacsland?
Yeah. It does come out Tuesday. And I hope that they see that we tried to keep it. It's not chronological. It's very scattered. And we kept it that way because that's how Ernie was. He was an insomniac. He slept 5 hours a night. Things came to him extemporaneously. And I felt like maybe this book needs to be kind of a look into Ernie's brain or what he was like as a person as well as a comedian. But I hope people see, he really was an innovator and he was television's original genius. That's what I would say.
You were so very kind as to send me a PDF of a lot of this. And it's just, I cannot wait to purchase this book because, I mean, talk about scatterbrained, unorganized, having thoughts come to you in weird times. That's pretty much my life. I'm no Ernie Kovac. I'm not even close. That's the way my brain works, right? As someone who's like that, I can appreciate that line of thinking.
Well, and it very much is. I mean, Ernie did not do nothing in moderation, right? He went full bore on everything. And a lot of the stuff that my mom was the one saying to him, make sure you get credit, producer's credit. Make sure you get writer's credit. Make sure you do that. My mom was the one in the background going like, yeah, you're creating all this amazing stuff, but if nobody knows you did it, it doesn't mean anything. I really want to make sure that both Ernie's legacy and my mom's legacy are a bit entwined because she was a big part of what we know Ernie to be in 2023.
I left you a short amount of time for a big question. Of all the people you interacted with over your years in Hollywood with your parents, what one or two celebrity really sticks out as like, that's just a cool person?
I had a really weird moment where I was in Venice, Italy, and we met Christopher Walken when he was making the Bond movie. He was Max Zorin in A View to a Kill. And I just had a moment of like, what the am I doing here? Like, I'm not, this is this great actor. And he was super cool. And what we found out, even more crazy, when he was a boy, he was a dancer and he was on Ernie's show.
No way.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I just got goosebumps.
Elliot Gould was another one. Crazy.
An amazing way to end this interview. Josh, thank you so much. This has been spectacular time. Josh Mills, he's the host of Rarefied Air podcast. You can find it at rarefiedair.com. And also the book coming out this week, Ernie in Kovacsland, available wherever you get your books. Josh, thank you so much for joining us from Los Angeles today. Have a wonderful day.
Oh, thank you. You too. I appreciate all the time. Thank you.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. Matt Flynn is next. For Mr. Aaron Zommers and Luke Mathers, I'm Todd Albaugh. See you tomorrow on the Civic Media Radio Network.